Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Chronic Fatigue and Burnout Recovery Podcast. Today I want to talk about, as the title of the episode suggests, how to rest better. This is a piggyback off the previous episode where I talked about pacing. And obviously one of the concepts of pacing is to have a day which has a rhythm where there's periods of activity and then periods of rest. And one of the things I said in that episode is that rest must be restful. If we are doing periods of activity and then periods of rest, it's really important that when we are in the resting state or the resting period, that we do feel like we are being recharged, restored. We're in a parasympathetic state in the nervous system so that the healing and recovery can happen. And I think that's what a lot of people struggle with. A while ago, I did a survey on my Instagram stories, and I think 80 to 90% of people who responded to the survey said that they found resting hard. And I know myself in my own journey, resting was really, 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 really hard in the beginning stages, because I had gone from this life of being switched on all the time, always busy, always doing, always go, 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 always everything, a million miles an hour. And then all of a sudden, when my body gave up on me, in my best interests, I had to just stop. And then there was so much discomfort that I had to deal with the just stopping. And so learning how to actually rest restfully was something that I had to learn how to do. And it's something that a lot of other people need to learn how to do as well for various reasons. But as I've said already, is pacing involves adding rest intervals into your day. And that can really help to support the natural rhythm of the nervous system. A healthy, regulated nervous system will move organically throughout the day between states of activation and states of settling. We're not supposed to be like completely calm all the time. We're supposed to respond appropriately to the environment and experience perhaps some activation, but then we shouldn't stay stuck in that activation. We should be able to settle, and there should be a rhythm happening, like an up and down, a flow of a little bit of activation, a little bit of settling, a little bit of activation, a little bit of settling. But what happens in chronic illness is there can very often be this stuck on or stuck off pattern, or people with chronic illness have got very sensitive nervous systems that become overstimulated very, very quickly. So when we're talking about the stuck on pattern, that's stuck in the sympathetic activation, that fight or flight energy where there's more tension in the body, your heart is going, there's more constriction, more contraction. Those would be some of the ways that you know that you are in more of a stuck on pattern. Or we can also be in a stuck off pattern where we feel very shut down. We can feel maybe more frozen, or we can be in kind of like a dorsal like collapse in the nervous system where we just like can't like do anything. And what we're really trying to do as part of overcoming our chronic illness experience is to bring more of that natural rhythm back into the system. So it's not stuck on, not stuck off, and not going from like zero to hero due to like very small stimulation, but we're working towards this like rhythm of like this activation and the settling and this activation and the settling. Pacing is one of the ways we can facilitate that, because we are doing things which are stimulating the body and bringing a bit more activation into the body. But then we have rest, and when that rest is true rest, we can encourage the settling before the next cycle of activation. But as I've said already, at least in the beginning stages of your journey or wherever you are in your journey, it seems like there's a lot of people out there, and I put myself in that category when I was first embarking on this journey, where rest just doesn't always feel good. And it should feel good. But in the beginning, the things that we think we should be doing in order to rest often don't feel good. And that can bring up a lot more sort of like judgment and anxiety in the system as well. Because often when we stop, when we slow down, maybe when we come out of the mind and more into the body and we do some of the things that we would normally think would be restful, we come into contact with all the dysregulation that our nervous system has been holding onto. And that can be inherently uncomfortable. And especially in the beginning stages of your journey, you probably are experiencing grief. You're probably experiencing anxiety and worry for your health. You may be experiencing anger and frustration at perhaps how you're being treated by the medical system. And then when we stop and we let our guard down and we try to become calm, if we don't have tools for processing some of that emotional experience, it's a great opportunity for it all to come to the surface. And then what do you do with that if you're trying to have a nap or you're trying to do some restorative yoga or you're trying to just read a book or watch some TV? If all of that is coming up for you and you don't have the skills to process it, it's going to make rest really hard. And so ultimately what we need to do is we need to build our capacity to tolerate rest. I mean, what is this crazy world that we live in where we have to be able to tolerate rest? But that is the truth of the matter. When slowing down, when stopping, when coming into contact with your bodily experience feels too much and distressing, we need to be able to train our body to do that. And here I'll say that this is why I created the Nurturing Resilience subscription, to give you the somatic tools to help you rest better. But obviously that's a whole program and it's a whole course and it takes time to learn and time to work with your nervous system. So I wanted to just give you some starting pointers to get you heading in the right direction when it comes to resting better. And so the first tip and the first starting point is to create a routine. Routine creates safety and stability for the body. And you would have heard me talk about this on the podcast on different days and different ways. But really what we're looking at here is you wake up at the same time each day. You go to bed at the same time each day. You eat your meals at the same time. You do similar activities, whether that's personal care, chores around the house, your little exercise routine, if you've got one, you're doing them at the same time each day so that your body knows what to expect and when. And that repeated over time in itself helps to create rhythm. It helps to create predictability. It helps to create certainty. And that can all be signaling safety to the body. We know what's going to happen next. We know what's going to happen next. Because chronic illness is so uncertain, we have to create that certainty for ourselves. So the first thing is to create that routine. And then around that routine, as part of your pacing work, you're scheduling rest across the day. So we don't go do 3 hours of stuff and then rest for 3 hours. Remember, we're looking for rhythm. So if we're thinking back to that idea of stuck on, stuck off, doing for 3 hours and then resting for 3 hours is kind of being stuck on for 3 hours and stuck off for 3 hours. So if we want rhythm, it's like you do something for half an hour, you rest for half an hour. You do something for half an hour, you rest for half an hour. And obviously that rhythm looks different depending on your capacity. Some people may only be able to do something for 1 minute and then they need to rest for another 29 or 59. Whereas other people might do something for 15 minutes and then rest for 45 minutes, whereas some people might be able to do the half hour, or 20, 20, or whatever it is for you. There's always going to be some trial and error involved. And I think this is where, you know, I often get asked questions on social media and people are like, what is the best way to do this? And I'm like, I have no idea because I don't know your body. I don't know your system. I don't know your case. You need to try and, you know, do something sensible that seems sensible, reasonable. See how your body responds, get the feedback and adjust. And sometimes it's going to go beautifully. Sometimes it's going to go really, really badly. But every single time you're going to learn, and over time you'll learn how your body works. So you have your routine. You have this scheduled rest across the day. you're starting to work out how much you can do versus how much you need to rest. And then you want to create what I call a resting menu. And I will actually like sit down with my clients. I'll be like, right, what's your resting menu? When you're resting, what are the different things that you're going to do? And I've got some examples here for you. But before I give the examples, it's really important that rest feels restful. So the most important thing is that when you rest, you feel like you're settled, like you're calm, like you're more peaceful, like you're being nourished, like you're being restored. And how each individual accesses that will be completely different. And that's okay. So sometimes we'll think, well, meditation is supposed to be good for me, so I'm going to rest and do a meditation. Or yoga is supposed to be good for me, so that's what I'm going to do. But if these activities, which on paper should be restful, actually make you feel more frustrated, more agitated, then they're not restful for you. And you might be better off just lying in front of the TV and watching a really great TV show that makes you laugh. So here are some examples of things that could feel restful, but it's also important to understand that these will vary from person to person, and there's probably hundreds of things on this list that wouldn't be helpful for everyone, or there's hundreds of things on this list that would be helpful that I haven't included. So the first is just like connecting with nature, whether that's you just go sit in the garden if the weather's good, or you sit with your pet. And you know, I've got cats, so sometimes I just really like it when if I sit on the sofa and the cat jumps up and he sits on my lap and I just put my hands on his little body. And it's just nice. And we're just connecting, and it's taking me outside of myself, and I'm resourcing externally if we're using nervous system language. And sometimes connecting with people can be really great. A lot of people find socializing and dialogue and conversation quite tiring and potentially quite activating. But maybe there are certain people that you have in your life that you can just cuddle, or that are just really calming to be around. And you can, you know, maybe watch a TV show with them, and it feels more restful for your system, just having that co-regulation of watching something with them in your presence. Healthy escapism could also be restful. So watching some TV or reading a book, if reading is within your capacity. I always find reading really helps to like take my mind somewhere else and switch off from all the thoughts about like work and everything that's going on with my clients. And it means I'm not looking at my phone and I'm not looking at technology. So reading is something that works very well for me. It could be some mindset work. So you could be listening to a podcast like this one. And maybe it's just like a really inspirational recovery story. Or maybe you're doing some positive visualization, or, you know, something else where you're using your mind and you're kind of engaging with some content, but it's making you feel really good and peaceful and calm. Then we have practices like yoga nidra or restorative yoga or yin yoga or meditation. Maybe even some gentle movement like qigong or very gentle yoga. Or maybe even creative work like, you know, doing a drawing or doing a painting or building something with your hands. You know, it obviously depends on capacity, but for some people that can feel very restful and restorative. And then we can also have somatic settling tools. So these are tools that I might teach in the Nurturing Resilience subscription, but we can use somatic tools to settle and calm the system. So that's a potential rest menu. And then you've got your routine, you've got your schedule, you kind of know how long you can do things for, what the routine looks like. And then on any given day, you just pick one. You know, like one day you might feel like, oh, I really feel like my body needs to move a little, and some just gentle qigong or stretching would actually feel really restful right now. Or it might be, I'm going to do a yoga nidra. Or it's, you know what, I'm just going to like slob out on the sofa and just watch this TV show. So if we've got a selection box of things we can choose from, then through attuning to our body and listening to its needs, we can pick something from the box and then we can follow through. But I think where a lot of people struggle with rest is that there's so much unprocessed survival energy built up in the system. And so very often in chronic illness, people who experience chronic illness have what we would call from a nervous system perspective, they have a syndromal pattern in their system. What this basically means is that over time, the body has created, there's a lot of instability that has been created in the body due to ongoing stress that hasn't been able to become processed and discharged. So there's lots of incomplete stress responses in the body. And the body wants to survive. It wants to keep going. So it's found ways to cope. But in finding ways to cope, it's become increasingly unstable. And then we have this lack of stability and then low stress resilience and heightened sensitivity. And now we go to do our yoga nidra or we go to do our meditation. And we're starting to become aware of this, let's call it undischarged survival energy. So fight or flight or even freeze energy that's like built up in the system that wants somewhere to go. And if we don't have a way to deal with that, it's really difficult to get into contact with true rest. And this is where somatic practices can be really helpful. This is what I teach in the Nurturing Resilience subscription is like, how do we start to work with this activation in the body? Because sometimes before we can rest, we need to be able to discharge and get rid of this energy. And that's where, you know, movement can be really helpful. A little bit of a walk can be helpful. Maybe doing some more, you know, like aggressive breathwork techniques could be really helpful. You know, some people, might be able to do like cold plunge and that might be helpful, but sometimes it's not always in people's capacity. And then I work with clients who've maybe historically been athletes and they've got so much of this energy built up in the system. And in the past, exercise was the way that they used to cope with that. But now they can no longer exercise because of their health. And there's all this energy in the system with nowhere to go because they don't have any other ways of processing it. And the great news is that with techniques learned from somatic experiencing, we can discharge some of the survival energy without having to go and do a workout, which means that it's within our capacity. So if you've kind of followed some of these basics, like you've got your routine, you've got your schedule, you know how long you can do things for and not do things for, and you've got a resting menu, but you're really still struggling to get into a rested state, it might be worth considering learning some somatic tools. It doesn't have to be with me or the Nurturing Resilience subscription. It could just be you work with a somatic experiencing therapist of your own, or you join another program. But I really like my program because I created it and I think it's the best. But I do fully hold space for the fact that people respond differently to different things and you have to find the program that's right for you. Then I just had a final few comments that I just wanted to make before we wrap up today's episode. One of them is don't judge yourself for how you rest. I used to really be very critical about myself for doing things like watching TV in the daytime. And actually there was a stage in my journey when usually from about like 2 or 3 in the afternoon to 5 in the afternoon, I just needed to put Netflix on and watch a good show. And that was the best thing for me at the time. Yet I had built up this story in my head about, you know, this is lazy. This is, you know, you're just turning your brain to mush. You should be working. You should be being more productive. All of these stories, which were, of course, not very restful, about how I was choosing to rest. And then when I was finally just able to surrender to the fact that it was okay just to lie on the sofa and watch a couple of series episodes, it just made my internal landscape so much more restful because I was no longer judging myself for how I was achieving rest. So something to be mindful of as you are aiming to rest better is notice how you're judging yourself for how you achieve rest and notice the stories that are coming up and creating the activation in the system. And then finally, the one last thing I want to say is that rest is such an important part of this journey, but we don't get better by resting. We get better by resting appropriately at times and building our capacity to tolerate stress. which means we need to stress our body physically, mentally, emotionally in the appropriate dosages, and then we allow space for rest afterwards. And we need to build our emotional capacity, we need to build our physical capacity, and we need to build our mental capacity. You know, exercise, sauna, heat stress, cold stress, fasting, if it's appropriate for you, are all ways we can build physical capacity. We can build mental capacity through cognitive tasks, things like driving, reading books, playing games that encourage memory or things like that. You know, you can obviously play memory games, you know, using like cards and things like that, but you can also get apps on your phone. I think the Luminosity app is an app where you can challenge yourself cognitively. And then for emotional challenge and emotional capacity building, that's where somatic experiencing can be really, really helpful for building that capacity to be with the body, the sensations, the emotions, and everything else that's connected with that. So I hope you have enjoyed listening to this episode today. I hope this episode, in conjunction with the pacing episode, which was previously recorded, have been helpful for you. As always, if you have enjoyed this episode and any of the other episodes, please leave a review on Spotify or iTunes. This podcast is, you know, obviously it's no frills podcast. There's no ads. It's really just my time and energy and then the money to edit it that keeps it going. But how you can pay that forward is just leaving a review, because it helps other people find the information, benefit from the information. And that's just a really nice thing to do for someone else. So I will leave you there and see you in the next episode.